Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. I was going to change the intro to, Hello, Earthlings. Yeah, I've come a long way with a message for you. You're all really stupid. You should shut the fuck up. Yeah. Something like that. Anyway, I was thinking of talking about mood, you know, the vagaries of a good day versus a bad day and all that kind of crap, a good year versus a good bad year, a good decade, blah, blah, blah. Lots of different things, actually. Perspective, you know, big picture versus little picture. And, you know, you should be able to see it without getting very close to the picture. You get the idea. You should be able to figure it out so you could sort of analogize philosophy as doing something like that. You know, you're standing 50 feet from the painting and it's, you can already tell it's got blood and guts and, you know, you can see certain features. You know, you can see some arrow through somebody's head or something. Yeah, you already get the idea. And then you get closer and you can see the actual drips of blood and this and the that, and it's even clearer just how, ooh, that's not good. So I could argue that, yes, okay, for me anyway, it was really easy looking at life. I could see it. You know, I didn't have to put on magnifying glasses. I didn't have to do anything to look for any details to get the idea that, oh, what the hell am I doing in this slop? It always seemed like more problem than solution, more scary stuff than attractive stuff, however you want to describe it. It just seemed way too dangerous and vague, and you know, the answers just weren't good enough in terms of, well, they're just lucky. Well, he's just unlucky. Oh, I have to do that? I have to exercise my lucky powers? That's how I fix my life? Is get lucky? Get some luck? I go dig a hole and find some luck? Look under rocks until I find the luck? Yeah, that really wasn't a good answer, right? Yeah, but there is no good answer that some, you know, stupid parent, and you have to be kind of stupid to be a parent. It's like inviting the plague. You're just saying, okay, go ahead, I want to live with fleas, and yeah, I'm not going to do much to prevent them from carrying, you know, insidious disease. You know, it's just, well, who does that? You know, that's pretty dumb. Why would you do that? You know, like to pet fleas? I mean, what's the motivator? So all of those questions existed when I was, whatever, 7 or 8, and, you know, I'm still stuck in them. I'm still stuck with them, you know, in trying to eke through, you know, the thing called my existence, you know, my presence as a consciousness. So that was the other thing that occurred to me as a subject that needs to be driven home, sort of, is the whole idea that you kind of know how this works, right? You just wake up a human being. Now, you don't know, you know, you don't remember waking up before, but, you know, theoretically everything wakes up and is here. So it's just like restarting. You know, you die and then you just restart as some new character in the play. You know, you're just all of a sudden there. You know, one day you're, you know, the lead, and the next day you're the maid, and the next day you're the this, and the, you know, it's just every time you wake up, like in some groundhog scenario, you know, Groundhog Day, it's not the same place. You wake up a different character, and the same movie's going to happen. You know, the same. All the other characters are going to do exactly what they did in the previous version, kind of thing. You don't have any control over them anyway. You know, all you can do is know what's going to happen when you know your script, because you've heard it before, and you were just playing it out, and saying how, blah, blah, blah. The real point I'm trying to get to is that, if you kind of understand, that's the basic idea, right? It's not real reincarnation. It's none of that stuff. It's just this idea of waking up a character on Earth, and that everybody's going to have the feeling like, I don't know, I obviously was selected to be in the play. I'm in it, and so you'd figure out that, well, if this play is just going to keep running, the idea would be to fix the play in the future, because I'm going to be some character in that play in the future. It's not going to matter who I am, right? It's sort of just like all of them have to have good roles, and none of them can actually be hurt, and all of that kind of crap, or I'm just sentencing myself to whatever the downside is of this play, right? So the play has some negative components, mouse traps, it's probably something worse than that, glue traps, horrible traps, that you get into. And so that's connected to another thought that, all of this would be so much easier if all the people who had completely ruined lives and made completely ruinous decisions would just sit there and make videos explaining how, I thought having a kid was going to be fun and all this crap, but no, I got cancer and, I had to spend 5 years torturing it and watching it die. And, I'm ruined. Nothing's going to take that away. Nothing's going to fix it. There's no candy bar that makes it all better. No balloon is going to, just don't mess with life. It's just way too dangerous. Don't play very aggressively, because, as you push the boundaries, the danger gets greater and greater. The risks pile on some more responsibilities and fail. And you're not going to go through the rest of your life having a good time, because it'll always be there saying, the little knife will always be jabbing you in the heart. And that's sort of related to, I was thinking about, some lamenting about my past and who I loved and what I cared about and what I wanted and all that kind of crap. And you think about the girls and blah, blah, blah. And, I realized that I was better off with my incomplete, unconsummated, unsuccessful love affairs were more beautiful, okay, in a sense, because they don't have any of the tragic elements except for your little broken heart at the end. The rest of it is all kind of nice, and it's this idea of getting closer and, feeling that moment of, satisfaction in, I don't exactly know how to say it, but, you just don't want to live there. It's a nice place to visit, but you don't want to live there. If you do, then the blight shows up eventually, the mosquitoes or some other thing. I'm just thinking about the fact that, I can think back and say how, well, that wouldn't have worked out at all because, she was trivial and she would have left me and I would have been ruined after, if I had become invested, I would have been even more destroyed. And who knows, I might have been some loony who, goes on a rampage because they're unhappy or something. Who knows? So it's all better for the better, okay? That I didn't get what I wanted, because what I wanted wasn't obtainable in any practical way, because it's just too dangerous. It's not likely to work out. The likelihood is it doesn't work out. And, so I was better off failing early than after I had real balls invested, so to speak. That kind of thing. It occurred to me that I was better off. And so there's a lot of those kind of experiences where I can say, I didn't get lost in bullshit, and, I'm better off for it. so many of the little things where you say, yeah, if I would have got that job or if it would have been that happened. At the time, I thought that would have been a great thing, but when you think it through, it would have led to it had some other aspect to it that just wasn't going to work out in the end, and it wouldn't have gotten to you the place where you can see now is the place you would want to have been. So it's like you can, you know, your life can burn bridges, so to speak, and break your capacity to get to some point where you can, you know, gain a better perspective or meet another person or all this other stuff never would have happened. If that would have happened, then I never would have done this, and I never would have done, you know, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's just more evidence that this is way too sloppy a game we're playing for anybody to defend playing it, because you can't control anything. And good intentions really don't matter much, and deserve will have little to do with it. And wow, yeah, really is kind of dumb. Very dumb. And so, yeah, that's the message. It's just kind of, you have to be kind of ignorant to play along without some protest, without some commentary about, gee, isn't this a real pile of shit we're caught up in, and we should take it a little more seriously, all that kind of stuff. But how can you take it seriously when it's a, you know, it's a lifeboat with 7 billion people or 8 billion people on it? It's an awful lot to manage, 8 billion people, you know. You know, that's really messy, and you know, they all have territories and all this other stuff that you have to fight through, and so the, you know, just the politics of it is daunting. But what option is there, frankly? You know, this is the boat we're on, and there's nothing else you can do but try to steer it to the calm water, and you know, where we can actually take some time to, you know, suss this thing out, figure out who's full of shit, you know, and what's full of shit, and what's stupid and ignorant and inefficient and unwise. I guess that would be the best term. What is unwise? All right. I suppose that's enough of an introduction. So this is in the context where, you know, I was going to talk about mood. I did something stupid yesterday. Lifted something the wrong way, so my back is all being unpleasant. And so that's just another thing you think about is, you know, just how vague every day is. And, you know, you have certain things. You say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then something happens, and you're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that. And so then you have to do that and that. And maybe that's for the better, because you had to get to that and that, and you weren't really getting to that and that because you were too preoccupied doing this and that. And so, you know, it might be a useful deterrent to my enthusiasm, but it's just as likely it's the opposite, okay? It's just really gotten my way, and I would have gotten so much done in the next 2 days, and instead I'm just going to, you know, gimp around and, you know, just barely muddle through, because my mood, it'll be shit, you know, just because pain isn't really a mood enhancer. And functionality will be, you know, diminished, and so my efficiency will decline as a project doer thing. You know, I won't be able to dispense as much coke, you know, and I won't be able to count my quarters properly and whatever. I said the word quarter, and I'm like, yeah, like you, you know, like you could actually buy a Coke with quarters now. I don't know if you still can. Anyway, so I'll take a pause and see if I can pick one of these subjects. All right, back. All right, so two things, events, you could say. observations stimulated some of what I've just said, in the sense that I actually overheard a conversation where a person with five kids admitted that if they could go back and talk to their 18-year-old self, this wouldn't have happened, and they would live a whole different life, and they would have never made this mistake, right? So that's the kind of, testimony, me saying life is bad, okay, it doesn't mean much, in terms of getting to some people to realize how so much of, the dismal is predictable, and you can know it's just part of the game. You can't evade it, and somebody's going to have to experience it, and it's bad. And because you didn't, doesn't mean everything's okay on Earth. That kind of thing. Just as fair warning to people that, what you think makes sense when you're 18 probably doesn't. Okay, yeah. It just takes more time than that to gain enough life experience, and there aren't enough people giving you wise advice, right? I mean, the old people die, and they also are entirely distracted by talking about, how many bags of potatoes they had to carry to school or something. they don't really get to the point and just say, it ain't all what you think it is. You're really going to spend most of your life not where you are now. Then the place you're going to be is going to feel a little bit like jail. Reality is going to pin you in. All kinds of crap is going to happen that ain't your fault, but it's going to happen, and you ain't going to be able to stop it from happening. And that crap is going to be debilitating in some cases. I mean, just completely ruinous to your capacity to play the game and enjoy it, because you have way too many bad memories of the risks. You've seen too many videotapes of the car crashes, and now you're in the race and you're saying, gee, I mean, that guy was driving perfect, and it wasn't his fault that somebody else's tire jumped in front of his car and he ended up, in the stands on fire. If you see enough of that shit, you're not going to get in the car. You're just going to say, what am I doing this for? I mean, what kind of wacky idea do I have in my head that this is a good idea? You'll figure out that, okay. Because you have enough forewarning in terms of enough references, information regarding statistics and likelihoods and all that kind of crap to know, if I will eventually win even negative lotteries. I'm just going to win lotteries. Some lotteries are 6 million to 1. Some lotteries are 3 to 1. Some are 7 to 1. There's all kinds of dice you're rolling all the time, and you're going to win some of them. So if there's, 30,000 bad things that can happen, the fact is you're in 30,000 different lotteries. You're in them all, so you're going to win some of them, and that's just a fact. So some of those negative things are going to happen to you. Now, like I said, you can be lucky, and understand that you've been lucky. And, that's the part of the irony of my commentary, is that I've been incredibly lucky, and it really hasn't dulled my understanding that, that's no reason to be an idiot, right? Because I've been lucky doesn't undo the fact that I was also, I guess, conscientious enough to, be prepared, and so I investigated, or I acquired enough knowledge to know that I am in these 30,000 negative lotteries, whether I like it or not. And with odds of 30,000 to 1, or 20,000 to 1, or even 10,000 to 1, I'm going to win some of them. And I don't want to win them. It doesn't take much to recognize, well, yeah, that doesn't sound like a smart thing to do, buy these tickets. No. So don't do it. And it certainly doesn't seem smart to push one into a little kid's pocket. So that was the other thing I saw is a doting father thingy, where they take the little kid out for a stroll and everything is purple and you have to do this little baby talk and I would say just completely pretend. I mean, what the whole thing has to be some, you have to be such an actor to pretend there's something that, I would have to be to pretend there's some enthusiasm here and some that isn't all, technically made out of shit. And you'd have to just say, well, yes, it looks like, but yeah, look, scrape on it. See, it's shit. See, scrape on the, oh, see, it's shit. Everything's made out of shit. It's a shitiverse. And you don't have to scratch very hard and you can see the shit. And, well, you can't do that to a kid, right? You can't just go around scratching everything and saying, look, it's shit. Look, it's gonna bite you. Look, it's gonna do this. Look, 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 look. Every single thing. Oh, look, the birds. Oh, Tweety bird. Yeah, well, it's carrying all kinds of fucking goddamn diseases. You don't want the thing anywhere near you. Blah, blah, blah. There's no way to, who, but, sorry. You have to be an imbecile to enjoy interaction with the youth because the interaction is so dishonest and it kind of has to be because you really, there's no choice. You can't, you can't, it's impossible to do the right thing. I mean, besides giving it euthanasia or something, giving it the, well, here's a suicide pill. If I can't give it the suicide pill, I'm not going to tell it the truth because shit, then it's just trapped. And it's it doesn't get to have any fun first. It's like forcing a kid to eat vegetables or something. I mean, there's lots of things you have to do, and it just can't be pleasant to do. I can't imagine doing it. I mean, I can't imagine ever being able to be a parent and do all the things, it's like, ew, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. All this stuff that seems kind of cruel and nasty. So I'm just saying that's, you're just saying, wow, you have to, what's running in a person's brain to be able to, I could spend 10 minutes, pretending to be interested in talking, baby talk about reality with some infant, but more than 10 minutes, so, gee, that would really get taxing. And having it stuck to me like the whole day. Oh, fuck. I can't even, yes, I'd rather go to jail. Frankly, there's no other, if I had to choose. So, we're a long way. We're separated by a great cavern of difference in capacity to be whatever, optimistic, I don't know, fake-a-mystic. I just can't do this. Let's fake it. Let's pretend we're having fun as, the dragon, burns us and, chomps us and, we'll just make a joke out of it. That's the other thing I saw. That was also just one of those things that just told you, yeah, I'm really just can't relate to people anymore. So it's kids, all right. So kids are kids, right? And one kid's on an electric bike and he's jerking around, and he, they have a, the turning radius is insane on those little wheels, So he obviously takes his hands off the wheel. The wheel spins. He crashes, and he's about 50 feet away from his club, his gang. And they're all laughing, or, and there's, they don't know yet whether, he's really fucked or not, I mean, he crashed pretty good. I saw it. And, just happened to be there and saw it. And, you know, he hadn't gotten up yet, you know, and they're laughing, and, man down, ha, 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 and you're just like, oh, I'm thinking back to me and when I was a kid, I just don't think I would have done, that wouldn't have been my first instinct. It might have been funny after, you know, he gets up and he's, you know, okay, but it wouldn't be funny till then, you know, and, you know, yeah. You know, you're just like, ooh, this is what people do? But I guess it's just because people are so used to this, because of the fail videos all over the place. This is what they've been, you know, designed, essentially, by the Google net to how to think and behave, is that, yes, it's failure's funny. And, yeah, that's... I mean, to some extent, like I said, yes, it's funny to somebody who's 15, you know, but it really shouldn't be, even to a 15-year-old, right? There's a time when you grow up, and that's when that stuff isn't funny anymore. It's just calculated as another risk and another expense and another problem, and you're trying to evade those pretty aggressively once you start getting a little tiny bit mature. You know, the task becomes minimizing mistakes, you know, backaches for dumb reasons and crap like that. You become a lot more cautious. So that could be part of the subject. It's just the idea that what are you gaining through life experiences, you know, that kind of knowledge, and what does it make you in the end is, yeah, really cautious. Like, you don't even rock in your rocking chair too fast, you know, and you become a boring, uninteresting old person. But the truth is, they're playing the game the only sensible way you can play it, because they've played it long enough to know, don't touch anything, don't mess with anything, don't fuck with anything, because it all has shit-a-mite inside of it. You know, it's all going to blow up, and it's going to be a shitstorm. So don't fuck with anything. So that would be another message, you know, is that clearly there really should, instead of the internet disproportionately being controlled by the, you know, 10 to 18-year-olds, it should be controlled by the 70 to 80-year-olds. But whatever, that's a statement, a should-be kind of statement. Where, you know, that ain't going to happen anyway. And what's the other thing to say to it? You know, that it obviously carries its own inefficiency, in that there's lots of old people who aren't very wise. So it doesn't, there's no guarantee that with age there's wisdom. I guess that would be the statement. So it's hardly the perfect solution. The perfect solution would be just to have you know, intelligence, wisdom, be the controlling rhetoric in terms of the mood orienter. The little sermon every morning should be something about the fact that your life is serious business. You got to take your own welfare seriously, and you got to take other people's welfare seriously, and you got to take the future's welfare seriously. These are all considerations. You know, you have a little bit of control, the rudder of the boat, and you have to exercise what control you have in constructive ways. And that'd be a good message for every day. Oh, my voice is... I guess when I hurt my back, I don't think I could blame the things on the same thing. But anyway, I'll take a break and see if I can fix that. All right, so yeah, my brain drifted to completely different subject. You know, just some sort of physics stuff, blah blah blah. So you know, I get you know, you're sitting here saying, okay, this is, I'm making a video doing this job, and you know, brains and the vagaries of them. But it did occur to me that part of the context, you know, part of seeing the picture that you can't see from far away is the context of evolution and the mechanical universe and all that kind of crap, and that we're just bugs. And that's, again, you know, a piece of information that, you know, it doesn't pop into my head all the time, but it's, you know, it's a piece of information my brain has where it's always going to answer certain questions with, oh yeah, it's that bug thing. Yeah, you're just a robot. You know, you're just a mechanical device that has a bunch of pre-established bits of knowledge through your existence. You collect these little bit of experiences with life. You fall off a ladder. You fall off. You know, things happen, and you become aware of risk and vulnerability, and you see how far that goes in terms of optimism. So one of the little things that just popped into my head was the wacky people who watch their kid die of cancer and then have another kid. You know, like, that'll fix him, that little bastard. We'll show him how to do it right. You know, and you're just like, what the fuck are they thinking? How can they possibly, you know? And that, then you realize, well, these are people that are so dull, you know, inside, in terms of having any kind of give a shit about anything. You know, they're so preoccupied with their adventure and continuing their voyage that they just couldn't care less how many, oh, you just heard that some people died in the engine room, you know, making your boat go. I don't care. You know, what's it have to do with me? I'm playing shuffleboard. You know, I don't care. You know, you're just saying that's a cruel motherfucker. I mean, that's the kind of person you really wouldn't want babysitting your goldfish. You know. I'm just saying it recurs to me that this is a brain I can't understand. You know, this is a psychology that just shot up a bunch of kids in a school or something. Did something completely insane. You're just saying, well, how the fuck is that teaching anybody anything? You know, what the fuck is that about? Too stupid. You know, a reaction. You know, just can't make any sense. So where was I? Yes, so this is the problem with brains and how it stores information even. And, you know, the fact that it does do this to you, where, you know, you're trying to get somewhere and it keeps, you know, it's trying to help, I guess, and then it throws an idea in that just, you know, starts getting you thinking a whole different, you know, about something entirely different that's probably more, maybe it's more important than the thing you're thinking about. It seems that way, you know, something like that. And changes the subject, and that's not necessarily good. I mean, it's not, you know. I guess it would be preferable to be able to pull a switch on your brain that says, stay on the fucking subject. You know, instead of change, you know, stay away from things that might change the subject. But again, I don't know if that's, you know, how many missed opportunities that would deny you in terms of creating some new perspective. All right, sorry, I'm talking about how psychology works, and that's a whole different subject. So back to the evolution bug thing, you know, and being just a designed machine, you know, and that we have all this ambition and desire and perspective about, you know, a sense of immediacy of our own existence. And all of that is just part of making the organism capable of doing all the crap it has to do to survive, if it had to in a real environment. So, you know, we're designed to, you know, live a even grittier life than we live. And one that requires almost exaggerated responses. And so we're still stuck in this, you know, environment of being an a zoo animal, you know, we're in a petting zoo, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a kind of an unnatural environment, and every now and then it goes all wrong, I guess you could say, you know, because the animal really isn't designed to be in a controlled environment. It's designed to be in a reactive environment, you know, one where you have to react quickly and decisively, or you die, or you get hurt, or something else. So, you know, there's no time for thinking, you know. And so we had to evolve through that process of becoming, you know, evolving from reactionary animals to animals that take a little bit of time and think about what they're doing before they do it. And we haven't completed that process, I guess you could argue, is that we're still half one kind of monster, and you know, you could describe the other, the thinking thing can be a scheming thing, right? So I've used that term, you know, in terms of understanding the difference between when you're doing thinking, which is, you know, you'd argue is some sort of fair evaluation of the truth and the facts, and then when you're doing scheming, which is, you know, you're really just plotting your success and everybody else's failure. Because you know their failure is essential to your success, right? I mean, the guy, yeah, you really have to, in some respects, you have to plan for the other person's failure just as much as you have to plan for your own success in some cases, you know, depending on the contest. And, you know, if you don't thwart him being the best, then you're not going to be the best. That's just the truth. There can't be two winners and all that kind of stuff. You're in a poker game and, you know, half the game is fucking with the other people playing the game, or attempting to fuck with them in some way that gives you an advantage, you know, because they're not working as well as they would if you weren't distracting them with your scheming bullshit. Anyway, all right, so, yeah, I'll see what happens. Okay, so I'll see what subject is the subject, because I really haven't decided. And so, yeah, I mean, I've already talked about the whole evolution bug thing, and, you know, it's a fact, you know, that an overview you just have to respect in terms of all this bullshit, you know, just to eat some wood, you know, just to do the same old things all over again, to just be this formulaic human bug, do human things. And they're all the same sort of things, right? I mean, it's just all the, you know, it's the same game, and you're just doing it in different positions, wearing different little uniforms, right? Different, you know, it's not a, you know, it ain't all that. All right, back. So I was thinking of the whole strategy thing, and you know, then I was thinking about my strategy, which is pretty bad, in terms of, you know, I'm seeking some sort of generic statement you can say, and it'll work on anybody. So if you were just had to convince one person, you could figure out that, you know, I could profile that person, figure out what I can use as a, you know, piece of leverage to, you know, bend them. Like, you know, if I knew they had a dog when they were a kid, and then they got their driver's license, they ran over their dog or something, you know, some event that would be bad enough where they'd say, yeah, I'd never want that to happen ever again to anything ever. And they would recognize that, yes, it's just too high a risk because, you know, these terrible things happen, and they're not worth having happen. I'm not gonna make a new spotty to get run over by a new, you know, reckless teenager. You know, something like that, where you could take advantage of some personal experience the person's had and use it to, you know, really drive the point, you know, really jab them hard in their little hearts. So I can do that to myself by thinking about Santino the cat, or I can do some other thing and recognize that gee, I'd never force that again. That's just terrible. You know, I mean, paid too high a price for, you know, too imperfect a finish, if that's what you want to say. You know. I mean, there's just so many ungraceful deaths, you know, and then, you know, here I'm talking about animals, let alone the people I've known and the ones who, you know, the story was, you know, so good and then it went so bad, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, the bad part is just so bad, you can't go anywhere near that. I mean, you can't, you got to fix it or you don't do this again. You don't repeat the story because that ending sucked, kind of thing. So I was thinking about the little lion over here. You know, it is a photograph. You know, and you're saying, well, it's a real lion, you know. And it had a real life and it had a real death. And, you know, who knows if it had little cublets and what happened to them. And there's a whole story there, you know. But the story ain't going to be seen in the picture, right? The picture is just, you know. Hi. You know, it's friendly and nice and pretty and, you know, all that kind of crap. So these little snapshots we have of life can be very deceptive because they're not telling you the whole story. Now, I guess I could say the dark side image in the background isn't also the whole story. I mean, the whole story was cupcake, cupcake and happy, happy and, you know, little moments of victory. But, you know, that's all they are, is the moments of victory before they pull you out of the cage and start doing experiments on you. You know, they're not, and it's, like I said, 1 minute you're upright and, you know, enjoying your cupcake, and the next minute you're, you know, hanging on the hook, you know, heading for the grinder. You know, one little slip, and your dog food, so to speak. But anyway, so the point is, so yeah, so my strategy, you know, it's hard to devise one for this big a project of getting the Titanic to, you know, change its course, when you're not the captain, you know, and, you know, how exactly you get it done. You know, how do you get the mob to take over the ship and, you know, steer it 10 feet to the left? You know, do this little modification in how we function. And it wouldn't take much, right? Because so we're already there. So that's another part of the subject is, you know, the anti-natalist perspective is winning as long as people are high school educated. You know, you could use that as a standard. It doesn't take much of a standard of cultural sophistication, let's just say, for somebody to be really careful about baby production. Conscientious, let's just say, not reckless. So at least that minimum of not being reckless already creates, you know, kind of an extinctionist behavior. So whether it's the actual intent, it doesn't really matter. The fact is that at least the behavior has been moderated to prevent a huge percentage of sloppiness anyway, right? I mean, the not needing an abortion because you use the condom kind of thing or some other kind of, you know, it's obviously you're trying to prevent something worse or uglier from happening, and that's what the high school education does for people, is apparently make them a little bit smarter, smart enough to know that they should take the decision more seriously. Or even just maybe just having that, you know, the simple biological understanding, so at least they don't have accidents as readily. Maybe that's all it takes. Maybe it's not a matter of intent, but you're not being subjected to silly delusions that you can get away with it, okay? That you don't have to take it seriously, that the pregnancy only happens to those girls, or some kind of silly notion. Anyway, so yeah, so the, you know, the only good news, you know, is that it's winning without winning on purpose, and that's good. So at least it's not as dire. The boat is drifting because the wind is blowing in the right direction, so at least that part's in our favor. And as long as the captain, as long as we can prevent him from turning against that wind, we can just hope the wind takes care of the problem. But that's the question is then it's another strategy issue or subject would be how can this system play out? I mean, are people going to actually get dumber in mass, like by volume? Are there going to be more stupid people in the future than there are smart people? And part of me says, well, that can't happen because the dumb people will eventually have to realize they haven't the capacity to be useful. And eventually they're going to be enslaved by that fact because the smart people are going to figure out, why do we need these dumb people? I mean, what purpose do they serve? I mean, the rich will figure out the poor don't have any utility when they have a robot that does their work for them, and they have machines that do the work and all this kind of stuff. If they don't need slaves anymore, they're not going to pay to feed them anymore. Kind of obvious, and maintain them. So in some sense, the idiocracy will have to fail because it will get starved out of existence. It will, the rich will stop feeding you. So whether you like it or not, you can breed all you want, but it won't do you any good because you're not going to have a safety net anymore, and you're not going to have a system that's going to take care of it and all that kind of crap, and it's all going to be, it's us or you, it's us or them kind of attitude is going to take over, and the people with power are the ones who are going to control it. But anyway, you can go through all kinds of ways of figuring out which way the boat's going to go based on all these little subtle influences, but you can't count on any of it. So it would be better to figure out a strategy where people are encouraged to be smart, not stupid, where they're embarrassed by their stupidity, like it was a huge defect in their appearance, and they'd want to hide it and try to fix it, try to file some of it off or something. That would be a simple meme way of enhancing civilization is if we actually made it embarrassing to be stupid. We should do that probably. It should be something people want to fix, not wallow in. What's up? I mean, all the little moronic signals that society sends where it's okay to be stupid, Homer Simpson kind of crap. It's really bad for people to see examples of, oh, it's okay to be a Homer Simpson. No, it really isn't okay. It's really bad for the future. There's people having kids who are, they can't even live their own life successfully and functionally, and they're attempting to create a new human that's going to do it better. And how can they teach it to do better when they're failures? I mean, when they can't do, it's not likely they're going to be a good teacher. It's not likely they're going to be able to fix what was broken for them, because they're hypocrites too, right? I mean, they live it's all people still smoking pot and doing silly little stuff, and they got kids. I mean, it's just really stupid. I can't get through my life without this and this, and you're sending the signal loud and clear that this is how you fix things, is with all these little cheats. So it's like they have some job that was, you know, their brother-in-law got them because he's a somebody in government or some other kind of bullshit, and they got some in. And so they know they're not qualified. They know they're not really functional. They know they'd not be where they are if it wasn't for some luck. And yet they tell their kid, yeah, pull up your bootstraps and, you know, earn it, and you got to do, blah, blah. You know, and all that's going to mean nothing if the kid figures out, well, you didn't do any of that shit. You didn't earn any of it, you know. You're not, you know, you have to kind of do it by example, right? And they're not going to be able to do it by example. So that's sort of bullshit. All right. So I don't know if I have much else to say about strategy. No. I can't really have one because I can't be certain about what actually works and doesn't work. So I guess that's part of it. And also that's why I just rely on trying to make arguments that would pause me, and, you know, the ones that work for me anyway, that make me capable of understanding that, yeah, even though there's a part of me that can dream a good life, you know, fun, that little fun stuff is so trivial, you know, compared to all the crap that has to be paid for it. It's not what it seems. You know, it's made out of way too much work. You could argue it's way too much burden and price and expense and all of that stuff. And it might look like something, you know, might look nice, you know, in this picture, but it ain't going to look so nice when it's, you know, got some infection or something and it's crawling across the prairie covered in maggots. You know, that's not going to be the same picture. And it's the one thing isn't going to be worth the other. It's not going to be a good, it's not going to be a reasonable price to pay. And such. Just like all the horrors are not worth the little golden cupcake. Just doesn't work that way. Anyway, so I'll take a pause and see if there's anything else. All right, back. So my brain, you know, did come up with something, you know, so I think sort of interesting in the sense that it just brought up the simple image of the book of life, you know, and we're just trying to go through the pages. So I'm not showing you the pages, okay? I'm talking the pages, you know, it's trying to write the book in a fair, complete manner, and you know, you're. Don't want it to be too long a book, you know, because attention spans and all that kind of stuff. And the story isn't that complicated. So in a sense, you want to say, okay, make the Reader's Digest version of the book. You know, take out, you know, I mean, you can do the story in 10 minutes or you can do the story in 10 hours. You know, do the 10-minute version. Because, yeah, most people aren't going to read the longer book. And that's part of what breaks all of this conversation is that fact that you really do have to break this into really simple stuff. So it's like you have to have a picture that metaphors evolution. Now you can show the little diagram where the person, you know, the bug evolves into the human being, you know, but that doesn't really say anything, right? Because that doesn't say about anything about attrition and investments and all this kind of stuff and what, you know, life really requires. I mean, it doesn't really talk about the fact that, you know, women naturally have more, can have, are likely to have, if you don't mitigate, more children, okay, than could at all be practical in the world we exist in now. Because they're designed for a world where most of the kids died. It's just a fact. And you know, that's a terrible, awful fact, you know, the cruelty of it. You know, all these disposable people, you know, and disposable always in some not very pleasant way. I mean, most of them didn't get instantly killed in some tragedy. They got brutally and slowly killed in some by some horrible conditions, or condition. And again, it's if you know, so all these stories would be in there, the Titanic and all this, you know, you put all the stories in the Book of Life. This is what life is. And in the context of this idea of, you know, the first page has to be something about the fact that, you know, we're not designed to live interesting lives. We're designed, okay, to successfully propagate a molecule. And, you know, that's it. We're just the vehicle that the molecule is driving. And, you know, the enhancements only exist if it's to the molecule's advantage. You know, it gets more molecules into the future. It's not, the standard isn't success or gratification or any of that crap. Success is just molecule propagation. And that's a really bad context for a good story. And then you go on to all the facts of evolution that doesn't care really about how miserable the things it creates are, is. It doesn't care how stressed it is or how much of their life is spent in a certain condition. It just cares about the end result. Did it fight and did it win? And that's it. The gladiator doesn't have to enjoy it. You know, he just has to be victorious. And it really doesn't matter how much pain and suffering isn't one of the molecule standards for a good idea or a bad idea. It just doesn't care about the economy of it. Now, we do, so we've engineered some systems to mitigate against that nature, but we only have so much control, and that's why kids are still dying of cancer and all that kind of crap. Accidents are still happening. It's because we can't exercise any complete control. It's only a little bit of control. And but some of those little bits are really important, like the condom. You know, there's huge advantages to a tiny bit of mitigation. Yeah, my brain just threw in the, well, if men got pregnant, I wouldn't have to make any of these videos because, you know, men just would say, fuck this. Why am I doing that? Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, just no way. you do have to, we're all constructed for a role to play to some extent, so we do have some biological agenda that's still in control, even though we have controlled a lot of it with psychological manipulation through cultural meme control and all that kind of stuff. So that would probably be the way to go. You know, I think the Buddhists have a Book of Life, I'm not sure. But to me, yeah, this is all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to open the book and let's go through the real pages. You know, not the fake pages, but the real pages. The real pages don't have any gods and spirits and souls or any of this crap in it. And you're just stuck with bugs, you know, that can sing and dance. And they're all happy because they can dance, you know. And, you know, and it's all quite trivial. And it'll always end in pretty much tragic defeat. And the stories aren't happily ever after. I mean, that's a simple enough statement. You know, the whole saga of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you know, it doesn't mean much, you know, in terms of, oh, yes, they successfully survived the Wicked Witch. But she didn't survive uterus cancer, and, you know, he didn't survive, you know, all the, you know, you can just come up with the average, you know, male defeat in all kinds of different ways. You know, the getting fat and slow and, you know, all kinds of things that can happen to you. And then you die. That's not in the story, and so it's not a complete story. It's not a whole book. So if you write the whole book of anything that happens on Earth, or, you know, put it in the whole story where you really have to put it, you can figure out it's not worth it. I could figure it out. You could figure it out. Anyway, we'll see. And such. So anyway, that's the video. I don't know. I have no idea what it's about exactly, but maybe Book of Life would, yeah, maybe I'll title it that, even though it really wasn't until the very end. But that's all. It's just volume one or draft. Yeah. They're just attempts to try to describe the Book of Life, I guess, rather than read from it, because you can't read from it. I mean, that's part of the downside, is you just can't put it all in context. You can't imagine 7 billion people. You can't really imagine all the price that's been paid for life on Earth in terms of all the little birdies kicked out of the nest, all of the crocodile food. I mean, all the all the shit that has happened, all the grinding. You just can't describe, page of meat grinder, another page of meat grinder, another page, you can't do it. You can't appreciate it. So you have to describe it rather than read it. Yeah, that's probably a good thing to say. Something like that, anyway. That's the challenge. It's not in a language our brain can use, because it really can't replay a million events. It can only replay one. it can only see one piece of it at a time. And so it's hard for it to put the puzzle pieces in the context, and it's hard to see the whole puzzle because our focus is too narrow. So we have to describe the whole puzzle because we can't actually touch it, interact with it, something like that. Anyway, that will be enough, I think, and such. So this has been a DoNotGod.com video presentation. FList.com also, and FLism.com. I have to work on the websites. Coming soon, should be. And such, there's a whole thing being worked on, and I'm, I think it's gonna work, and I think it'll be good, and we'll see if it actually is part of the Book of Reality, or if it's just a pie in the sky or something. Anyway, till the next time, and such. Yeah, that's enough.